track 12, and now we come to our feature articles. And here is Brian to introduce this week's feature articles.
We have two feature items for you today. The first is from TNF Soundings, and it brings you a roundup of news from the visual impairment world. The article has been written by Fiona and is read by Amanda.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Amanda with an article written by Fiona. Hold on to your hats. We're about to take a trip around the world to explore how technology and simple human determination are making life easier for people with visual impairment. We will travel to Colorado, Mumbai, Chichester, and finally into outer space. At a research university in Colorado named the School of Minds, an innovative new device is helping people who are blind or who have low vision to feel facial expressions. The assistive technology is a wristband and a pair of glasses that use computer vision to translate facial expressions into vibrations on the wearer's wrist. This technology has been named Hapware, and it recreates the sensation of non-verbal cues through vibrations. For example, a smile feels like an upward U-shape pattern on the wrist, while a wave creates a side-to-side motion. Hapware co-founder and chief technology officer Brian Duarte, PhD, who lost his sight at age 18, said he was amazed by the accuracy and intuitiveness of feedback from the wristband. In tests, within just 90 seconds of wearing the device, volunteers could identify 7 nonverbal cues with 95% accuracy. One of the first users said, "When I began to feel the vibration sets and was able to interpret their meaning, it began to restore a long-lost depth of everyday communication." Hapware's device is currently being tested by potential users and is expected to launch commercially in early 2026. The company plans to offer the product at a $99 pre-order cost and a small monthly subscription. Let's jet off now to Mumbai, where two Bombay High Court judges came to the rescue of a blind woman who was unfairly excluded from government jobs due to a mistake made while filing her application form. As reported in the Hindustan Times, Shabana Pinjari, 41, had approached the court challenging her exclusion. She had applied to join the provisional select list prepared by the Maharashtra Public Service Commission for the posts of clerk cum typist in various state establishments. She complained that, due to an error, she was denied a fair opportunity and was compelled to opt for an unreserved post meant for open category candidates. When she complained about the error, the Maharashtra Public Service Commission gave her an opportunity to change her application. However, instead of allowing her to benefit from all the available options, she was only allowed to opt for the unreserved post of a clerk cum typist. Justices M.S. Karnik and N.R. Borkar held that under the Persons with Disabilities Act, state government was obliged to provide additional support to persons with disabilities to facilitate their participation in society. Following the hearing, the court directed the Maharashtra Public Service Commission to recommend Ms. Pinjari for the first available post for 100% visually impaired candidates. Back now to Chichester, where we land on the social media platform of blind footballer Toby Addison. Toby, 24, lost his sight suddenly at the age of 13 and has 4% vision. As a skilled footballer for West Brom and the England squad, Toby has a passion for fitness and popularising blind football. Acknowledging that many people may not be able to imagine what it's like living with visual impairment, he opened up his social media platform to invite his followers to ask him any questions, and they did. From the humorous, for example, "How do you know if your socks are on the correct foot?" Toby's answer, "I didn't know socks have a correct foot." To the factual, such as, "How do you vision yourself, as a kid or something completely different?" Toby's answer, "I picture myself how I looked at 15, before I went fully blind." And the technical, "When paying for something and you use your card, how do you know they're not overcharging you?" Toby's answer, "I don't, lol. Just have to trust people." Toby documents his blind football journey online and hopes one day he will compete in the Paralympics and Football World Cup. And now we travel into outer space. All these welcome stories about Earth-based support for people with visual impairment should come as a relief to astronauts returning from extended stays on the International Space Station, ISS. Approximately 70% of astronauts on long-duration missions report vision problems. NASA scientists are investigating why the weightless environment of space affects sight and why these vision changes may be permanent. This condition, called spaceflight-associated neuroocular syndrome, SANS, or SANS, is a major concern for long-term space travel. Unlike other space-related issues, like motion sickness or muscle loss, which improve quickly on Earth, SANS can cause lasting vision damage. The problem stems from microgravity, where the absence of gravity causes bodily fluids to shift upward, leading to facial swelling and increased pressure inside the skull. This pressure can flatten the eyeball's shape and swell the optic nerve, altering vision. Dr. Michael Roberts, NASA's lead vision researcher, emphasized the stakes, saying, "With Mars missions potentially lasting 2 to 3 years, addressing SANS is critical."
And now, as they say, for something completely different. From time to time, I like to record the ramblings of Chris Proctor, a contributor to the Civil Service Pensioner magazine. He writes under the banner, "Something else that annoys me." And this time he asks, "Why can't everyone just speak up? I can't be doing with people who mumble." I mean, it's not difficult, is it? If you've got something to say, open your mouth and provide ample volume. If not, shut up. Have you noticed how often people talk to you while they're looking down at their mobile phones? You don't need to be Einstein to realise that if your eyes are focused downwards, so is your mouth. Look in the mirror if you don't believe me. Not that most younger people need encouragement to look in a mirror. That's why they walk into you in the street. So when they speak to you, they don't look in your direction, and besides, their attention is half-hearted. Is the art of conversation dead? Of course it is. We no longer have conversations, we have monologues in the same room. That is, if you're lucky. Often they start talking when they're standing next to you, then wander off. Do they expect you to trot after them, assuming you're desperate for their gripping account of Strictly or what the cousin of someone you'd never met said to them last Tuesday? And their blathering starts in the most inconvenient surroundings. They tend to position themselves next to a blaring radio before they start whispering, or wait until you're in the back seat of a car and then talk into the windscreen at the volume of a Trappist monk with laryngitis. Some people try to claim I can't hear them because of some fault of my own, like creeping deafness. I've never heard such nonsense. Many years ago, my mother pointed out an interesting fact about the huge grandfather clock that took up most of our hallway. It was so large and the passageway so narrow, we had to squeeze past it, pushing up against the opposite wall. That made it impossible to see the time, and winding it up was a three-person operation. But it did have an impressive chime. The house shook at noon. Then Mother pointed out that it had grown quieter over the years, as the chime quake rattled hanging mugs in the kitchen, Cleaning products fell from bathroom shelves, and the goldfish bowl was subjected to waves akin to the Cape of Good Hope, we told her she needed a hearing aid. How wrong I was. I went recently back to the house and discovered she'd been right all those years ago. That chime really has got quieter. It also irritates me that watching television with others has become fraught. I find people mumbling at me. Do you want the sound up that high? Well, of course I do. I suppose the telly's getting on now and the volume is wearing out. I can recall when it was a perfectly adequate sound around the 20 mark, but those days are gone. I suppose I could get a new TV, but it doesn't seem worthwhile. The only ones who complain are the mumblers, and I'm not going to put myself out for them. I believe the mumbling fraternity is becoming increasingly militant and is designing buildings to annoy me. Time was I could go to the pub and have a pleasant conversation with up to half a dozen fellow topers, even Frank, who sat away from us near the door to avoid buying his round, was perfectly audible. Stephen was positively deafening. The last time we met up, no one said a word, or if they did, no one heard them. The mumblers have taken away the carpets and installed music machines and coffee-making devices that sound like the Queen Mary II leaving Southampton. We couldn't even hear Tommy, and he used to be a scaffolder. Anyway, against my better judgment, I was persuaded to have a hearing test. You can probably guess what happened. Oh, you need a hearing aid. Tosh. It's their job to dish them out. If they had a humpback whale in the chair, they'd suggest something to improve its high-frequency hearing. Anyway, I went along with it in the end, and once I'd stuck something in my ear, everyone brightened up. In fact, they've started to be rather pleasant. For one thing, they've all stopped mumbling.